Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Sarah Calvert, she's a small business attorney. She is the principal in Calvert & Associates PC, a law firm that she started in 1991, and her practice focuses on small business issues, and she has a program that we've been talking about. She's written many programs for small business, but this was called 101 Ways to Avoid Liability in Your Small Business, and today we're going to be talking about miscellaneous stuff, right, Sarah?
That's
Sarah?
Right. We have this huge 25 category of miscellaneous.
Absolutely. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you with us. And she practices, by the way, out of Fairfax, Virginia, right, Sarah?
Mm-hmm, that's correct, right outside our lovely nation's capital.
Talk to us about some of these miscellaneous things. What's first
on
the list?
Well, the first thing is, and this sounds simple, but it's something that happens quite often, and that is to take a look at your office with the eye of something that, you know, what could go wrong. I walk into many offices these days, especially those that are computer-reliant,
mm-hmm.
And you find overloaded plugs in the wall, especially in older buildings. You'll find cords wrapped around, network lines going across the floor, just taped down with a piece of scotch tape.
This is going to be an annoying hour, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to be very annoying.
We're going to be like your mother and OSHA, all wrapped up in one person, right?
And that's the workman's compensation rates for office people are fairly low, but they get to be higher from people that have this. Now, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but certain relatives of mine have a accounting firm, and having visited many times.
These are close relatives, right?
Yeah, close relatives.
Now, this will just be between you and me.
We won't tell a soul. And my close relatives for years had some of the oldest computer systems in a very old building. And I used to just cringe when I went in there because they had literally taped everything to the walls, to the floor, and, you know, anybody walking with something in their arms could have just killed themselves in that office. So you need to take a look at some of these dangerous things, because injuring employees is not a way to keep yourself away from liability.
Or customers.
And the other side of that is the retail shops, not the offices,
mm-hmm.
where, you have a tile floor, and you better have a policy that gets checked routinely on a daily, hourly, and sometimes shorter than hourly basis for spills and things that need to be cleaned up, because there is nothing worse than a slip and fall in a grocery store to make a hungry lawyer salivate.
Sad to say, but there are people who literally have made it sort of a part-time business going around falling in places.
Absolutely.
And they're
usually little old ladies or little old gentlemen who look frail and are actually very healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And that really happens. There are scam artists that are doing that. And there may not be much you can do for those people, but if you have a wet floor, if you have something laying out there where someone who was not paying attention could trip over it, it sort of gives them, it just helps them out, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you have a policy and you know that there was no wet, you know, that the floor was not wet because there had been an employee that had done a visual check routinely every half hour or hour. And if you have a system you can describe in court and maybe a checklist you have that somebody's checked, then you've got some backup to say maybe this person just fell.
All right. What would a policy like that sound like?
It would be a safety policy, and it would basically be that there's a visual check of the store by the floors by the manager on a half hourly or an hourly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's highly trafficked, like a grocery store, a half hour is probably more likely. Something that's less trafficked, like a clothing store or an area that's mostly carpeted, would obviously be maybe once or twice a day, check to make sure the aisles are clear and there's nothing that people can trip over.
Now that's primarily for high traffic customer oriented businesses. But you should have a similar policy putting some responsibility on your employees.
Absolutely.
So that if they get hurt and they try to sue you or take you or whatever they try to do,
mm-hmm.
then you can demonstrate that they had knowledge of their own responsibility to be safe.
Absolutely. Yeah, if there is safety equipment that's to be used in your business, and this is a pet peeve of mine and a lot of the mechanical, I call them the mechanical industries, where there's machinery being used,
mm-hmm.
or tools being used, or, you know, even paints and things like that, even nail salons where there are chemicals that are put on people's nails.
Right.
If there's safety equipment that should be used, it is your job to sit on those employees till they use it, but it's also your employees' job to keep themselves protected by using that equipment. Now, you must make sure as the employer that the equipment's available, that your policies are enforced to use it. You know, if they've got to wear masks, and they don't like wearing masks, That's tough. You don't work for your firm unless you're somebody that would wear them.
Or if your policy is that they wear masks and you walk around and you allow them not to wear those after your policy
says to. Then it is as if you never had that policy.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because putting it in writing and then not enforcing it so everyone can say, oh, she never enforced that rule,
right,
is just as bad as not ever having had the policy.
Right. So. Well, and the thing is we're talking about liability here, folks.
Right. We're avoiding liability.
Let's not forget that basically, you know, fundamentally what we're trying to do is prevent people from getting hurt.
Absolutely.
Because employees don't want to lose, they don't like to lose time. I mean, no one really wants to lose time. No one wants to be injured. And you certainly don't want that to happen yourself. So there's a number of reasons, not the least of which is the liability, but also just preventing people from getting hurt.
Absolutely.
What's next?
Well, something that a lot of people have problems routinely in their business where there may be a warranty that they give.
Mm-hmm.
They may say that, if your car's not fixed right, we'll take it back and fix it. There are certain ways of writing warranties and disclaimers of warranties, and those are things that can get a lot of people in trouble. I have a lot of questions about this in a lot of the industries where people will guarantee their work. Some work is easy to guarantee. If you've done a mental or a non-physical job for somebody, it's fairly easy to take it back, make some changes, do it, you know, to a different level. But in a lot of things where you're involved in repairing things for people, or you have given them a product, a piece of clothing, or a retail item, you need to have some sort of disclaimer. I'm thinking specifically of if you've written software for someone and guaranteed it would do a certain thing, be Y2K compatible.
Right.
Let's put some disclaimers on that.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because that's important. I'd like to know what that language looks like.
Okay.
And let's give them a couple of specific examples.
Okay.
When we come back after these messages, folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Sarah Calvert, our small business attorney. Stay with us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. All right, we are back. It's 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and my special guest is our good friend Sarah Calvert. She's our resident small business attorney, and we're talking about some miscellaneous things that you need to pay attention to in your small business to avoid liability. And what Sarah was telling us about just as we took a break was how to write disclaimers into things like warranties. What are some other types of agreements or contracts that we would put a disclaimer in?
Well, if you, for example, repair somebody's car or repair an item for somebody, you
right.
might have a disclaimer that says that if for some reason this doesn't work, bring it back to my shop so I can see it, as opposed to taking it off to a third party who says, yeah,
right.
that guy did it bad. And
that wouldn't even have to be on a warranty. In other words, just some instructions
right.
to tell people how you expect them to behave
Absolutely.
If they're not happy with something that you've done.
Absolutely.
So the reason I say that, Sarah, is you were talking about giving a warranty, and somebody's out there is thinking, well, I do a lot of work, but I don't give anybody a warranty.
Well, and that's true.
So
it,
you still need
yourself,
a, yeah, you still need a disclaimer, and you can, one of the things that you could have would be like a rubber stamp.
Absolutely.
Just have a rubber stamp printed up. It's got maybe five or six lines, a small paragraph, and maybe you could have more than one to fit each different kind of activity that you have, and you pick that stamp up, and you stamp it on a place on your invoice or
on your
work
order.
On an invoice
or on a receipt that you give
yeah.
to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, these things need to be in writing, and we need to have some way of showing that the client got them. Most of my clients at some point or another develop invoices or receipts, and I'll have them on the back of them a list of the terms and conditions of the work that they did, of how to apply for a warranty if they're bringing it back for a warranty,
right.
and how to, you know, what sorts of things are disclaimed. For example, a lot of my high-tech people who are doing things that are around and about the Y2K issue are giving disclaimers that say, look, the day I give this to you, let's say it's August 1st, 1999, and I give this to you, and it's completely Y2K compatible, but all the things you do around it on the computer system,
mm-hmm.
on move it to a different computer, add 10 other pieces of software around it, those are not part of my warranty. My warranty is only for the work I did, and it's only on August 1st, 1999's configuration.
You know, and this is all excellent advice, folks, but Sarah, don't you get weary of all the disclaimers. We've become a disclaimer nation,
yes,
haven't we?
Yes, we have.
We're so
and there
litigious.
Are silly disclaimers. I mean, you know, the disclaimer on ladders, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, if you stick your hand yeah. under the lawnmower right. while it's running, you may lose a finger.
That's right.
You know? I mean, goodness gracious.
Well, you know, I have two theories about this, and then you're going to get me off in my product liability attorney issues, but I have two theories about this. Number one, under all circumstances, I think small business owners should be semi-paranoid. And if they can't be paranoid for themselves, they should have an attorney that is semi-paranoid
yeah.
in order to protect them, to think, what's the worst-case scenario? What is some really, really not intelligent person going to do? The reason that there are stupid little warning signs on things like that is because someone has sued for exactly that
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
For saying, I didn't know I couldn't put my hand under the lawnmower.
Right.
And
somebody should make a lawnmower that won't cut your hand off.
That won't cut your hand off. Well, I think there are some out there, but basically, and there are a lot of there's a lot of progress that has been made, especially in the building of cars and things like that, where things that would have been simple safety concerns didn't happen until there was some lawsuits and some substantial payoffs of lawsuits.
Yeah.
Thinking, of course, of the gasoline tanks put in places where they would be known to explode, but it was cheaper that way. So it didn't become cheap when they had, you know, multi-millions and billions of dollars of lawsuits. And so they knew they had to rearrange the way that those cars were built.
One time I was on a beach. I was at a nice resort, and I was going to walk out on the beach that belonged to this resort. I mean, they had direct access to the beach, and it was a beautiful place, and, you know, it cost a lot of money to be there, and I was all happy and enjoying the vacation and everything, and as I walked out on the beach, there's this placard, this sign that's about, you know, like 3 feet square, and it's got all these disclaimers about going around the beach and the possibility of glass in the sand and you know, on and on and on and on, and it sort of ruined the mood there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I'm sure, as you say, somebody had already been through that, and the attorney said, if you don't want this to happen again, write this up on them.
And don't forget, when those lawsuits occur, there's always a lawyer involved, but guess what? There's always a client. There's always a client that's willing to go along and say, yeah, I didn't know I couldn't put my hand into the lawnmower.
Those darn lawyers.
And their clients.
What are we going to do about them? Sarah Calvert is our special guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's one of the good lawyers.
Yeah,
don't worry.
I'm one of the good
I wouldn't
guys.
Have any other kind on the show. It's 29 after, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We've got some other miscellaneous stuff that you need to pay attention to avoid liability in your small business. 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Sarah Calvert is our special guest. She is our resident attorney of the Small Business Advocate Show. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. And Sarah, you have a website.
I certainly do. It's www.calvertandassociates, all spelled out.
Spell Calvert.
C-A-L-V-E-R-T.
All right. And Associates.com. Okay. Check that out, folks. You also have a couple of numbers, an 800 number and a local number.
Sure. The 800 number is 800-526-5665 and 703-591-5315. And if you'd like to email me, because I'm online a couple times a day, it's slkcalv@aol.com.
Okay, now if someone wanted to work with you, you're licensed in Virginia.
Licensed in Virginia, but if it is not a state-specific legal action, if it's
yeah.
not litigation, they just have questions about corporations and how they work, or
so.
Or
if somebody wanted to, someone wanted to hire you from Nashville, Tennessee, or
absolutely.
Spokane, Washington, they could
sure.
call you, and you could do the work for them, even though they you aren't licensed in those states, as
sure.
long as you was just advising them on small business or helping them with read a contract or something like that.
Absolutely, we do a lot of work with franchisee organizations and things like
right.
that, groups of businesses or trade associations. They do a
right.
lot of speaking engagements that are kind of state neutral. They don't really have anything to do with the state. They're just issues and things to think about in small businesses
mm-hmm.
and issues to avoid. What I usually recommend is that you take it back to a local attorney or how to
right.
find a local attorney to make sure that your state laws are being applied.
And you have said that before. You would help people find a local attorney who focuses on
absolutely.
Small business the way you do.
I'll interview them because I'm always looking
good.
For them.
I appreciate appreciate that. Thank you for that very much. Let's move on and talk about what's next on our list. We're talking
about
miscellaneous
items. There's something that is just hot, as hot as can be, and people aren't thinking about it. Everybody's worried about whether their computers are going to crash come December 31st or January 1st, the year 2000. More importantly is if something goes wrong on your computer, and for a lot of us it's likely to be some small stupid thing, do you have registered copies of all of the software on your computer? Now is the time to make sure that you are not running 26 copies of Quicken and you've only paid for one of them.
Right.
28 copies of Microsoft Office and you've only paid for two of them. Check your registrations, because I can tell you those helplines will be flooded. And if you do not have the appropriate documentation, there is no one in the world that is going to talk to you before about January 1st of the year 2001.
Right.
You just aren't going to get the help. So now is the time to not only update, but make sure you've got registrations for each and every one of those pieces of software. Buy the multiple licenses if you have to.
Yeah, that's another thing that a lot of people don't even realize you can do. You can buy multiple licenses.
Absolutely, and it's not that expensive.
What's the extra charge for?
Well, it's usually like if you're talking a $300 set of software for Microsoft Office, it's usually like maybe $100 or $200 to get like a 5-pack of registration.
Okay.
So it's just not that expensive. However, let's talk about let's say you think I'm savvy, I know my Y2K problem's not going to occur. There's a couple other little glitches to this. Number one, there is a hotline that will pay tipsters to turn you in. Guess who those tipsters are? Your dearly beloved ex-employees.
Yeah.
They get paid money for turning you in and saying, hey, Microsoft, hey, Quicken. There's actually an entire trade association of these software companies that lives to bust people for this.
And would they bust somebody who's using two or three?
Absolutely.
Uh-oh.
Absolutely. They are looking for that. As a matter of fact, the recreation department of the county that I work in was busted about a year ago.
Really?
And this is a governmental agency.
A recreation department?
Yeah.
A municipality?
Yeah, this is part of the municipality.
What do they do to them?
They fine them substantially. They fine them for breaking their copyright.
What is substantial?
A couple of $1,000 for each license.
Wow.
So if you're talking about a couple of $100 to buy the license, it's a lot cheaper than being busted.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that there probably is the multiple license capability where they just add on a little bit and that's a good way to go.
Yeah. There's no reason not to be legal with that. I have a lot of clients that develop software for a living. You are stealing from them each and every time. You do not pay for that.
Let's say you've got a small accounting firm.
Yes.
One accountant and one assistant.
Right.
And you buy Quicken or you buy Microsoft Office or something like that.
Right.
We just got two computers in the whole building. Do I have to buy a whole new set of software just for my secretary?
Depends on what the license says. In some cases, even if you're using it over the network, as long as only one person uses it at a time, you need only have one license.
Right.
But in some cases, if both of you are going to be using it, then you either need to have two sets of software or have a license for two.
Right.
Yeah, which, as I said, is usually just an add-on to the licenses you already have.
Exactly.
You're not going to be able to buy them in your local Staples or Office Depot. You're going to need to call the company to get those licenses.
Right. Well, one of the weaknesses of having software is that one of the components of it is that you encourage your people to make copies of the originals.
No. This should be completely disallowed under your company policies.
What I'm getting at is, but they tell you make a copy in case the original crashes.
Sure, it's a backup copy.
Yeah, backup. That's what I'm saying is.
Yeah, but that backup copy is not to be used unless the original crashes.
I agree. I'm just saying that's one of the weaknesses in being a software developer.
Oh yes.
One of the first things they do is you teach people how to make a copy.
Absolutely.
Okay. What's next?
Let's talk about. There's an issue that small business owners, especially new ones, have trouble getting over. You start your life off and you're a consumer. And Ralph Nader and Consumer Product Safety Commission and all kinds of consumer agencies out there exist to protect you and help you. But then you become a business owner. And what you may or may not realize is you are now the enemy. There are no people out there that protect small business owners from larger businesses or other businesses that take advantage of them. Mm-hmm. So you have to all of a sudden be, as I said before, semi-paranoid, and I'll tell you how to do that in a minute.
All right, good. Stand by, folks. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Sarah Calvert is our special guest. We're talking about some things that you need to pay attention to avoid liability in your small business. Give us a call if you'd like to ask us a question or make a comment. 888-822-8255. We're back. It's 44 after. Thank you very much for joining us. and for staying with us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And I want to remind you, coming up in the next hour, Gene Greisman, our good friend Gene Greisman, is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about the time tactics of very successful people, how to make sure that you use your time wisely. And I can assure you, I can use some help with this, and I'm looking forward to having Gene on the show. Sarah, does that...
Yes. It's my one crisis. I'm forever pinging instead of working.
Sarah, you were using the P word when we took the last break.
The paranoid word.
Yeah.
Yes, I teach people to be paranoid. It's kind of a fun thing. but seriously, you know, as business owners, you are no longer a consumer. You are no longer protected. And so those, you know, the thought that you would make a phone call and fix something is no longer valid. It's, you have got to put things in writing. You've got to keep notes on situations you're trying to resolve. If you got 63 green widgets and you ordered 36 red widgets and you've got to make this get fixed, you're bound by a whole different set of rules called the Uniform Commercial Code, and you're expected to know what they are as a business owner, and 99 times out of 100 you don't. So here's a few tips to keep you within the guidelines. Keep notes. You know, if you've got a file on a particular vendor and something goes wrong or you're having trouble, keep notes as to who you talked to, when you talked to them, what they said, and then follow those comments and questions and concerns up in writing. If you're starting to get concerned there's going to be some real issues, start sending everything by certified mail, making sure you get some sort of either that postcard back or you send it overnight and you have some sort of proof that somebody got.
Now, this is if you're concerned about something.
Yes, if you're concerned about something. And a lot of us, you know, we buy things for our businesses and, you know, we don't pay a lot of attention. This is where I'm telling you, you really need to have good record keeping and you need to pay a lot of attention. There used to be scam, and this still happens, but it's not as common in my area anymore, but used to be scam artists out there. Used to call up the secretary and say, you have that Sharp 236 copier, right? And the lady would say, no, it's a, you know, Sharp 237.
Oh,
okay. All right, well, we'll be delivering the paper for that. And the secretary would say, oh, okay. Well, this was nobody related to your coffee company or your paper supplier. They would drop extraordinarily expensive materials on your front door. The secretary would think that heaven had come and arrived because she didn't have to order anything. And then the bill would arrive for these at some exorbitant cost.
Four times the normal rate.
And, you know, proving that nobody ordered it when you've got a tape recording that says that secretary said, okay, is very difficult.
Yeah, they used to call those toner phoners back when I was with Xerox. In another life, a couple of lives ago, they were toner phoners.
It still goes on today.
It sure does.
Especially for a lot of people have maintenance contracts that include things like paper and toner.
Well, let me tell you where it's happening right now, or at least it was happening a year or two ago, and that is what they call the slammers.
The slammers of the phone service.
The phone slammers. When you're slammed, the same conversation that Sarah just described would happen, and they would say, you know, are you so-and-so? And you'd say, yes. And they say, okay, thank you, and they'd hang up, and the next thing you know, your long-distance telephone service has been switched over to this obscure company, and you know, a month later, you get a $379 bill. I was slammed more than once, and they sent me a bill, and guess what I told them?
I'm not paying it.
Give it your best shot. That's exactly what I told them, and they threatened me with all kinds of stuff. I said, hey,
Come on, get in line.
Give it your best shot, whatever you want to do. And I never paid him a penny, and I never heard from him again. I refused to pay him, even though they probably had conducted my long-distance service there for about a month. Mm-hmm. I was so mad about them deciding who I was going to do business with.
Yes.
And I refused to pay it, and I did not pay it.
Yeah. So you see there are reasons for us to be semi-paranoid in a small business world.
Well, and of course, that's a case of where you can't protect yourself from that.
No.
I mean, those people are going
to
get you.
But you need to read your phone bills, because a lot of us may not have caught that.
That's exactly right.
We'd have thought, oh, my goodness, we spent a lot of money on phone calls this month, instead of, oh, my goodness, this is not the company I signed up with.
Right. You know, and you know, you were talking about keeping notes. That's such a good idea. Just write things down, because what will happen is you'll forget, or someone else will say something.
Yes.
Someone else will say, well, I don't think that's what we talked about. And you, being a reasonable person, if you didn't write it down, will say, well, maybe you're right. I thought I said that. But if you'll make those notes to yourself,
and
nothing formal,
right,
then you'll have your little, you know, if you have your little steno pad there by the phone or whatever, you can refer back to that conversation and you say, no, I wrote it down. I said this and you said this. And we're not talking about taking copious notes of the whole conversation.
No, but if there were promises made and issues were resolved, Or you are, you know, right. questioning, and the answer is, you know, you can't do that.
John said this was shipping today, and I would have it by Thursday.
Right. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And those things have really got to be in place. So you've got to have decent organization. You've got to have file folders. You know, for those of you who are hanging out there on a wing and a prayer, this is where you're going to find out that you're going to lose a lot of money.
Well, another thing you could do is you could take that note, and you could just sort of handwrite it on the cover page, your fax cover page, and shoot it to that person. Let them know that you made a note of this. And John, thank you for your help today. I'm looking forward to receiving the materials as you promised on Thursday.
Absolutely.
That puts a little bit of that's not only records what they promised, but it puts a little extra pressure on them.
Absolutely. They know that you've kept records and you've got these facsimiles.
Absolutely. Stand by, Sarah. Folks, it's CPF. We're going to be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I appreciate your business. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Sarah Calvert, our small business attorney, and Sarah is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and her practice is out of Fairfax, Virginia. And I would like for you to give us your website one more time, Sarah.
Sure. It's www.calvert, C-A-L-V-E-R-T, and Associates, all spelled out, .com.
Great, thanks. Okay, what's next?
This is a very interesting one. If a salesperson tells you something that's too good to be true, do you get it in writing? Well, this is a very common consumer complaint, but as small business owners, there are businesses out there that target you, knowing you're new in business, and get you to sign something by telling you it says something, and then when you fail to read it and realize that what they've said is not in there at all. I had a client once who signed an agreement for the garbage company, and he's required as a restaurateur to have his garbage picked up 3 times per week because of the garbage disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And the company said, certainly we can do that. And he signed the agreement, and the agreement, nowhere does it say how often they will pick up the trash.
And so now if he wants it 3 times, he has to pay the
next. And they started picking it up twice a week, putting him in violation of the county health code.
Right.
And he's got a contract that goes on for 2 years because that's the contract he signed.
And then they said, oh, you want it 3 times?
No, they said, do you want it 3 times? We can't do that in your area.
Cannot do that.
Cannot do that in your area.
See, what I thought you were going to say is, oh, yeah, we can do that, but that costs an extra $100.
Oh, no, they didn't try to hit him up for it. No, but they wanted to hold him to the contract for as often as they wanted to pick up.
Isn't there such a thing as them being responsible for knowing that I mean, for example, if I buy a sign in my town, I rely on the sign company to know what the sign ordinance is. In other words, I rely on them. I don't worry about my square inches per front foot or whatever for the signs. I rely on them to do that. Could he not have been expected to rely on them to know what his ordinances were?
No, because the ordinances are different from county and city and town. And they're also the responsibility of the restaurant owner and not the responsibility of the trash company.
Okay,
You may expect them as a consumer to know that, but as a business owner, your responsibility is to make sure that trash gets picked up. It doesn't matter how it happens.
Here's a good lesson, folks. If you're dealing with a contractor, with a vendor, who should have knowledge of those things, I still think that that's not an excuse. Your guy, your client should have, or your friend or whatever, should have said, okay, I want you to give me a contract based on what you know the ordinances to be for restaurants in my area, and you give me a contract based on that. In other words, the key here is you write the specs. Don't let them write the specs.
Right, and because he did not read it carefully, and he listened to what the salesperson said instead of reading the contract, he wound up in this stupid contract that it took us forever to get out of. You know, we had to hire another company. We had to fire this company and then go to court to get ourselves out of the contract. And the court did let us out of the contract because they called it a mistake in contracting.
Right.
That basically they couldn't bring out the 3 times a week. They could only do twice a week. You know, my client was lucky that everybody believed him. If they took one look at him and said, I think you're lying, you know, I think you're just trying to get out of paying this bill,
He'd be stuck. But see, he thought what he was paying for was 3 times a week.
That
price was 3 times a week. And so what he did, though, was he let them write his specs.
Absolutely.
His specifications.
And he listened. He didn't read.
Right. Exactly.
that's a real problem for small business owners. And this same client had the same problem with a cleaner, a provider of restaurant linens.
This guy is a good client of yours.
He runs
he's
a wonderful
your kind of,
business.
He's your kind of client.
He's my kind of client. He runs a wonderful business. He'll be in business forever. He's a beautiful French chef. He's one of my favorite people.
Congratulations on finding him.
But he got a linen company that wouldn't take his linen.
Sarah, we got to hear about that next week.
Yeah, we'll do it next week.
Have a good one. Have a
you
good
too.
Week.
Take
thank
care.
You. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the small business. Sarah Calvert.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.